Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
And I hope you've realized that in your life. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was never the same. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 6 is tonight. Ephesians chapter 1. We preached on, a few weeks ago, we preached out of Ephesians chapter 3 on the prayer of Paul to the church at Ephesus in chapter 3, which is talking about the church being empowered to love as Jesus would love and so forth. Here we have the prayer of Paul in the book of Ephesians. And here he's praying for their enlightenment. He's praying that their eyes would be opened and understand all that they have in Jesus Christ, all the wealth they have in Jesus Christ, that their eyes would be opened, that they might understand the Lord, they might know the Lord more. So look with me in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I just can't imagine how big Paul's prayer list was. Nearly every book he wrote, he said, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. May what? May give to you the revelation, the unfolding, the unveiling, to know the Lord, the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, the coming of Jesus, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Verse 18, when we started the church, was our key verse, and we still use it often, and this is the motto verse, if you would. And so that last little phrase, the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Heritage Baptist Church, inheritance, heritage, our heritage. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Again, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come to You thanking You for our heritage, the blessings that we have as Americans, the blessings we have as Christians and as Baptists. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless the message today, that You'd call to remembrance. Help us to be attentive and call to remembrance all the blessings You've given to us in Christ, in Jesus. Thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, as we think about our heritage, we think about our heritage as Americans. And again, the last 3 or 4 years, we've placed emphasis upon it. And if you would want to, you could go back in the archives and watch them. They're worth watching, as Matt Krause and as Brother David Gibbs have showed us without exception, and has shown us absolutely, dogmatically, that America was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. There is no doubt, there is no question to the sane person that America was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics, Judeo-Christian principles. Listen, we live in the greatest country on earth. America, I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe that, again, because of how we were founded, that God has blessed America greatly. Today, we're experiencing something that America hasn't experienced to this degree, and that is a total rejection of that Judeo-Christian principles that America was founded upon. You know why they reject it? Because they're rejecting God. Because they reject God. They want to reject God and His authority. They reject God and His standard. They don't want to be accountable to the Creator. They don't want to have a standard that is above their standards. Listen, what's happening today is the politicians have made themselves the standard. In other words, they believe they're smarter. They believe they're wiser than not only you, but the Lord. And they have set up what the standard will be. And we are to live by that standard. If you don't think that's true, all you got to do is do a lot of reading and watching the news. They believe they're above the fray. Listen very closely. As I've said in the last few weeks, I'm thankful again that God's on the throne. He will not forget His own. Listen, the hope for America is not the politician. The hope for America is Christ. But understand, we are being bombarded today with this message of communism and socialism. And I'm still telling you that's anti-God, it's anti-Christian, and it's anti-Bible. Socialism is anti-Bible. Communism is anti-Bible, anti-Christian. And we will show that, and I'll preach on that here in a few weeks. Just want to remind you of that. Listen, we as Americans better stand up for our heritage. We better stand up for our foundation. We need to stand. Take a stand. It's important that we teach our kids about American heritage, American history. And I appreciate Matt Krause, our state representative here, and also David Gibbs, men like David Gibbs who continue to teach and preach the truth as it pertains to our great country, the United States of America, the greatest country on earth. I know we have some issues, but the greatest country. America's done more for the world than any other country ever in history. And still doing more for the world than any other country ever. You say, that's pretty, ever. America's amazing. Our heritage. What is our heritage? I'm moving past that, by the way. Just boop, here we go. Heritage. Everybody turn me back on. Those who turned me off, some of y'all on the internet, just turn me back on. Heritage. What has been or can be inherited? To inherit, to receive by legacy, to receive by hereditary. I'm thankful not only for my American heritage, but I'm thankful for our Christian heritage. I'm thankful for our Christian heritage. I'm thankful. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm Baptist with a capital B. I'm a Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I'm thankful that when you read our sign out front, Baptist is not little bitty letters so you don't offend nobody. Let me say that again. I'm glad on our sign out front by the highway it says Heritage Baptist Church, and Baptist is not down at the bottom, little bitty so it don't offend nobody. I'm Baptist. Baptist with the capital B. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm thankful for our Baptist heritage and those who literally gave their lives during the dark ages and paid a great price in order that I might worship the way I'm worshiping today. We recognized our veterans last week, and I'm so thankful for those who gave their life for America that we might have this freedom we have. But let me tell you, you got to go back to the age of AD 500 AD to 1500 AD and see the great price that was paid for our religious freedom. In other words, to hold in your hand the King James Bible, to hold in your hand an English Bible, to believe the Montanists and the Novations and many others. Millions died at the hand of the Catholic Church and to try to squash out those who were dissenters and those who believed the Bible as it states and as it preaches and as it says. William Tyndale, who really about 90% of the King James Bible that I hold in my hand, 90% is William Tyndale's translation. 90%. And William Tyndale was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church. Get a hold of this now. I'm stuttering on purpose. Get a hold of this. Listen, what you hold in your hand, 90% of what you hold in your hand, that was by one person who gave his life so you could have that in your hand. Amen. Tyndale, William Tyndale, great translator of the Bible. And many others, millions of others, gave their life. By the way, there are many who are giving their lives today. We don't mention it much. We ought to mention it more. In the Middle East, there are people who've given their life. China, India, North Korea. In China, they're bulldozing churches. In the last 10 or 15 years, I mean, they're just bulldozing churches down. They're taking crosses down. I'm telling you, our media doesn't cover it, but you can go to Billy Graham's site or some of those other sites, Franklin Graham, and you can read about those churches in China who are literally being bulldozed down. China, who was somewhat tolerant, has now just given up on it. And man, they are just taking Christians out. And yet we Americans support them with our finances. One of the most hypocritical things our politicians have done in the last 30, 40 years is support China. We won't support Cuba. Hello? We had the Cold War against Russia, but we support China, a communist country who's bulldozing churches down, who is persecuting Christians, and yet we have a trade. We shouldn't give them a dime. We shouldn't trade. They should cut off right now. We should not be trading with China at all. Not even a pencil to support a communist regime that persecutes churches. Not even a pencil. Amen. You say, well, I don't. Hypocritical. Hypocritical. Our politicians, all about the money. China persecuting churches, bulldozing churches. India burning churches right now. You read Brother Thomas's letters that we have on the wall out there, you'll see that they are persecuting churches. They're persecuting Christians in India like crazy, burning churches down. Middle East, beheading Christians. You say, well, preacher, they don't, you know, those Christians don't believe just like we. They're dying in the name of Christ. They're giving their life in the name of Christ. It's happening right now. Not 500 years ago. Not 200 years ago. I mean, it's happening today. We need to be in prayer for the brothers and sisters in Christ in these areas. North Korea and others who are giving their lives for what they believe. I'm thankful for my Christian heritage. I'm thankful for the price that was paid in order that I might have a Bible in my hand. I'm thankful for the price that was paid in order for me to be a Baptist. By the way, I'm an independent Baptist. It simply means we're unaffiliated. We're not connected to any, you know, conference or any denomination. We're biblicist. That's what fundamentalist means. We're fundamental Baptists. That means we believe in the fundamentals of faith. When I was a kid in junior high, I played basketball. I was 2'2", 85 pounds. I was the second smallest kid in the school. But I played basketball. I had those little glasses. They put those little glasses on you that had the little platform sticking out the bottom where you couldn't look down when you're dribbling the ball. Didn't help. I still looked down. Why in the world I'd ever play basketball? But we learned the fundamentals. We learned how to bounce pass. We learned how to pass the ball, learn how to dribble, learn how to do a layup, and learn how to shoot properly. Our coach was very good at teaching the fundamentals. Let me tell you, there are some fundamentals to the faith. I believe the Bible teaches the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. The Word of God is verbally inspired. The virgin birth, the vicarious suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross, His victorious resurrection, and His visible return. All five of those fundamentals are necessary to our salvation. If you take any of those five out, we have no hope. They're the fundamentals of the faith. It's like going, you know, starting your car with no gas. You got to have gas. You got to have some kind of spark, and you have to have air for an engine to run. Learned that when I was a kid. Fundamentals of the internal combustion engine. Fundamentals of the faith. Unaffiliated Baptists, independent Baptists. J. Frank Norris, kind of the leader of the modern independent Baptist movement in the 1920s, 30s. Certainly did not begin with him, but certainly he's the one who led it in the modern era. By the way, he's an interesting pastor to read about. Pastored the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth and Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan at the same time. Both of those churches, the largest churches in America. First Baptist Church of Fort Worth. Again, interesting read. I promise you, you will not be able to put the book down. There are several biographies out there of J. Frank Norris. John Harvard said this, the founder of Harvard University. Listen to this. Harvard University. After God had carried us safe to New England and we had builded our homes, provided necessaries for our livelihood, readied convenient places for God's worship, and settled the civil government, one of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning and perpetuate to posterity, dreading to leave, this is the part you need to listen to, dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall lie in the dust. This is John Harvard. He said, we built a college, we built Harvard University to educate ministers so that when the ministers die that are now preaching to us, the next generation of ministers won't be illiterate. Harvard University was built for training preachers. I would say they're as far from that now as you can get. As far from it and as liberal as you can get. I'm thankful for Heritage Baptist Church. Never forget how God has blessed us in such a great way. August 23rd of 2000, had our first service. No buildings, no land, no vehicles. Now 18 acres, $6 million worth of buildings, over 130 mission projects, a host of people saved, a host of people baptized. God's been good to us. 20 years. Our first motto, our first slogan was, it was on our church sign, it said, an old-fashioned church for the 21st century. Some of y'all remember that. An old-fashioned church for the 21st century. We had two join last Sunday morning, and one of those new members said, I'm so glad I found a church that sings the old hymns. I'm so glad I found a church that preaches out of the Bible. She was just so ecstatic that she found a church like she attended when she was a kid. They call us a dinosaur today. They say that we're outdated, that we're going extinct. I'm thankful Heritage Baptist Church is not outdated. Neither is it going extinct. You can sing the old hymns vibrantly. I just about jumped out of my seat singing those hymns this morning. I love the old hymns. Love them. Love them. I like a chorus now and again as well, but I love the old hymns. I love the music of Heritage Baptist Church. Enjoyed the choir this morning. Just staying by the stuff. I'm thankful for our church and for the heritage of Heritage Baptist Church. Ephesians chapter 1, look there with me, verse 18 again, it says, and what the riches of the glory, notice the wording here, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I'm going to read it one more time. Look at the wording, it's important. And what the riches of the glory of His, God's inheritance in the saints. God's inheritance in the saints, He has a heritage in us. He inherits something with us. How can God view a sinner like me as a heritage? God who owns the universe, God who created the universe, God who owns the universe, and yet He considers me His inheritance, His heritage. In other words, we are His most precious possession. We, saints of God, His possession, His most precious possession. Why? Why would this be true? Why would God consider us His heritage? Well, because of the price that Jesus Christ paid on Calvary for our salvation. The work of Calvary gives us our value. The work of Calvary gives us our value. Great price was paid in order that we might be saved. Listen, this morning, when I was a kid, I used to like rocks. I wanted to be a paleontologist or something like that. I loved earth science. And so I'd go to work with my dad. He worked out in the oil field, and from time to time he'd drop me off and just let me walk some of the creeks, and I'd pick up fossils. And I did this for years. And some of our family vacations, we would pick up petrified wood. And I kept a box of those that I had found as a kid, and I've kept them for now 28 years of our marriage. I actually here a few years ago transferred them over to a plastic tub. That way I make sure I keep them at least until I'm dead, you know. My kids know about the box. They know where the box, you know, they know about the box. And the box just keeps moving with us every time we move. They're precious to me. I worked for those. I worked hard to pick those up, hours upon hours. And my dad used to come home from school with rocks in my pockets, and he would. Our whole driveway was made out of rocks. He didn't have to buy a rock. I had plenty of rock to bring home to him to fix our driveway with. But some of the good fossils, some of those really really nice fossils, I've kept over the years, and they're special to me. Why? Because there was a lot of labor of love put into those. Can I just tell you that God says you're special to you? You're special to Him. You're precious to Him. You are. If you're saved this morning, you're a saint, you're a child of God, then you are precious to Him. We are precious in His sight. I love this quote. This is by Warren Wiersbe. He said this, God gets something out of our salvation too. Remember, we get saved. We have our sins forgiven. We're given a home in heaven. We're given abundant life now. Man, we receive a lot of good, a lot of wealth when we accept Christ as our Savior. But here Wiersbe's saying, God gets something too out of our salvation. What we get out of it, it defies description. All that, the benefits of salvation. What we get out of it transcends comprehension. What we get is Him. What He gets is us. I think that's a bad trade-off, don't you? We get Him, He gets us. But God finds us and knows that He finds us special, precious. Why? Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, mankind fell. And fellowship was broken between God and man. Revelation tells us that we, humankind, us human beings, were created for His good pleasure. In other words, we were created to fellowship with God. The intention of God creating mankind was so that He could have a relationship with mankind. Lesson this morning, I'm going to remind you that Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. Jesus Christ, God the universe, desires a personal relationship with you. And when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that relationship was broken. But 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ, the God-man, came to this earth. God in the flesh came, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never once had a sinful thought, never once performed a sinful deed. He was sinless in disposition, desire and deed. But yet, He went to the cross. And there He died for me. There He died for my sins. There He took the punishment for me. He died in my place. He took God's wrath for me, for my sins. And He died, shed His blood on Calvary. They put Him in a tomb. But He didn't stay there. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, reigning triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. In victory, He rose from the dead. He now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You see, what happened was, when Adam sinned, the relationship between God and man was broken. But when Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again from the dead, that relationship is restored through Jesus Christ. At salvation, when I accepted salvation, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 6 years old, I no longer was separated from God. But at salvation, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, that relationship was restored. I was reconciled to God. Before salvation, I was at enmity with God. After salvation, after accepting Christ as my Savior, I am now reconciled. Jesus Christ spanned the gap between God and man. Jesus Christ spanned the chasm between God and man. It's Jesus Christ who brought God and man together again. You see, when I got saved, Jesus, God got something too. I got eternity. I got my sins forgiven. I got a home in heaven. What He got was me. Lousy trade-off. But He desires to have a personal relationship with me. He desires a fellowship with me. That fellowship that had been broken is now restored. He got me. He got you. If you're saved this morning, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and He says that is precious. You're His heritage. You're His inheritance. What a great truth. What a loving truth. What an amazing truth. I'm like you. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner, a selfish sinner, but God says I'm precious to Him because I am in Christ Jesus, because I've been placed in Christ. My sinful record's been erased, Christ's sinless record put in His place. Oh, the love of God, oh, the love of Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, gave His life for me. Rose again for me. A great price was paid. Great price was paid. The price of His inheritance was His life. Our price is His grace, God's unmerited favor. In other words, our price, it's free. Salvation's free. Titus 2:14 says, who, that is Jesus, gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. I asked the question this morning, are you part of the inheritance? Are you part of his inheritance? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Greatest decision you'll ever make, greatest decision you'll ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know him today? Have you trusted in him? Have you trusted him rather than anything else? And so many people believe that if they do good and if they're a part of a certain denomination or a certain church, or you know, if they were raised in a home that was Christian, that they die, when they die they go to heaven. No, the only way you get to heaven is by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, by way of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Do you know Jesus this morning? Secondly, we have a heritage waiting for us. I don't have to talk about this in very long. Everybody knows that. If you're saved this morning, we're looking forward to that heritage, that hope. He says there that you might know what is the hope of his calling. That hope, again, this is not hope like we define it. A lot of times we define hope as, I hope so, or in other words, maybe it'll happen. No, hope in the Bible is confident expectation. Hope in the Bible is, it's just a matter of time. You realize this morning it's just a matter of time, and Jesus is going to return for his own. He is going to return for his inheritance. He is going to take hold of his inheritance. And that could be today. He could come at any time. Paul said, I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to part. Listen, I'm that way, are you? Man, I want to stay here and see more people get saved. I want to stay here, Lord willing, see my grandkids someday and those type of things. But listen, I'm ready. I'm packing up, getting ready to go. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen? Lord, I'm looking forward to your return. That blessed hope. Spend eternity with the Lord. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Our inheritance, our heritage is waiting us. I'm thankful today as well that not only is heaven our home, but he's given us life more abundant if we'll simply take it as Christians. We have a great heritage as Americans. And in spite of all of America's flaws, the greatest country on earth. We have great heritage as Baptists, you know. I'm thankful for those who gave their life that we might be able to stand and preach and do the things we do today. We have great heritage as Christians. We are his heritage, he says, and he's our heritage. And what a great thing. I still marvels that what we get, you know, is him, and he gets us. We ought to be thankful, shouldn't we? And then one day he's coming again. I'm looking forward to that day. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a verse of Just As I Am. A verse of Just As I Am. I'm thankful Jesus Christ who accepts you just as you are. Listen, you don't have to turn over a new leaf to get saved. We say, well, I'll get saved when I get things right. Or I'll get saved when I quit this habit or stop doing. No, listen. You get saved and the Lord will help you with all those things. He'll take you just as you are. What a great God we have. Has there been a time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, this is an opportunity for you to come forward. It's inviting you to come forward, and someone will show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven. Christian, this morning, are you reminded this morning about your heritage? Maybe you just want to come down and thank the Lord for your Christian heritage, or thank the Lord for America. Thank the Lord for your heritage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the blessings of being a child of God, the wealth that we have as children of your dear Son. I pray, God, that you would be with those who've listened this morning. Lord, if there's someone here or someone watching online who's never accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord, may they accept you today. May they become a part of your inheritance. Lord, we thank you for the price that was paid that we might have that eternal life. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day of your return. In Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.